Hello and welcome to Right Through Now, the podcast that helps you stay connected with international news, science and technology, fun stuff. All right, let's begin. So Samsung's new partnership offers another glimpse of a drone delivery future in only one Irish town. Yeah, drones are definitely going to cover the last mile aspect of product delivery sometime in the future. I don't think it's the most optimized solution, as I've covered in earlier versions of this podcast, because drones can be super loud, noisy, and a little bit irritating, to be honest. And this is coming from me, who's a drone pilot himself, so I can admit that this is kind of problematic. But at the same time, if you can't get out of your home, if you have disabilities, if you have issues that prevent you from, you know, being active outside, I think this is brilliant. And a lot of people, especially in 2021, are now doing their primary shopping online, either because, you know, physical storefronts are just closed because of COVID, or it's just a matter of convenience at this point. So I think this is going to be an important part of, you know, last mile delivery eventually. The other interesting aspect about last mile delivery is that now a lot of electric vehicles are coming specifically designed for that purpose as well. So it's funny that we have that competition now, like weird electric cars versus drones to deliver products. This is the future. All right, so let's read the article. In Oranmore, a small town in County Galway, Ireland, you can now get a taste of a possibly instantly gratifying drone delivery future. In a newly announced partnership with Irish drone company Mana, Samsung is promising delivery of its smaller electronics like phones and smartwatches within 3 minutes when ordered by someone in Oranmore from Samsung's Irish online store. Mana uses, quote, custom-developed aerospace drones, end quote, to complete deliveries, according to Samsung's announcement. The drone's ability to travel at speeds over 60 kilometers per hour seems to be what guarantees those aggressive delivery times, though only operating within a 2 kilometer radius from their dispatch center, probably helps too. Yeah, the other aspect of, you know, drone delivery that hasn't been sorted out quite just yet is, you know, battery life. That's the limiting factor right now. And that comes at the cost of, you know, the bigger your battery is, the worse your overall performance is going to be, because bigger batteries also require more weight. There are interesting developments taking place in, you know, graphene batteries. That's an avenue that I'm really interested in, because it's going to have implications on a lot more than just drones, actually. It's going to have implications on your power banks, laptop performance, you know, just in general, cell phone battery life. That's something that I'm excited about. All right, let's see what else is going on. Sandstorms turn sun blue and sky yellow in Beijing. Thick dust carrying extremely high levels of hazardous particles blows in from drought-hit Mongolia. The second sandstorm to hit China in less than a fortnight has reversed the colors of the sky, turning the sun blue and the heavens yellow. Well, this is, you know, I've unfortunately had the experience of being in cities that are polluted enough that the color of the world changes. Every once in a while in the Himalayas as well, you know, it just, you just get a completely blacked out sky. It was more because of atmospheric particles and, you know, storms and that sort of stuff more often than it was actual pollution. But I've also seen this pollution stuff happening. You know, interestingly, just a couple of weeks ago, there was an issue in Stuttgart where the entire sky became yellow, and it was almost fascinatingly, I hate to say it, but beautiful. And then I go out and my allergies started to flare up, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And by the time I got home, my entire jacket was covered with these weird, you know, micro dots everywhere. And it's just, I was so confused. And then I realized later in the news that day that it had been a storm carrying sand from the desert in Africa. And that was kind of, almost kind of cool. But I mean, it's a storm, so how cool is a storm? It's just a sandstorm. But somehow the impact it has on the environment, and it just changes the landscape. It has this element of beauty to it as well. But of course, there's, you know, with pollutants, it's probably more sad than beautiful. All right. So OneWeb and SpaceX are racing to beam internet into the Arctic. That's really cool, isn't it? Rival satellite internet companies OneWeb and SpaceX are vying to snag lucrative deals to provide broadband internet to Earth's northernmost latitudes. OneWeb's launch of 36 satellites this week inched it closer to its goal of beaming internet into the region by year's end. SpaceX Starlink, which is already providing internet to thousands of consumers through a beta program, is eyeing the same area. Yeah, one of the reasons why so many of these satellite companies are trying to beam internet to these rare, faraway areas where not a lot of people live is because government contracts are really lucrative, you know, because all governments are trying to increase broadband connectivity to these desolate regions, and that's why there's so much money on the table. And on the other hand, that's what satellite internet is really good for. It's not really good for densely populated cities where you want to access the internet from one point. It's rather more beneficial to be out there in the wild and then you're having access to satellite internet. That is a better, you know, use for that service. Let's read on. Billions of dollars in government funds are on the line for companies that can connect the region. The Arctic is a nearly broadband desert for the US military, and the UK is willing to spend big to connect rural areas to the internet. Okay. Yeah, I really am kind of conflicted still about Starlink internet, because it's just, it would be oddly uncomfortable seeing these satellite trains at nighttime. I am interested in astrophotography, and just to go out there, every once in a while, you know, a satellite really interrupts your shot. It really interrupts the experience. I mean, well, I guess if it's an isolated satellite and you're just trying to look at some meteors, you're trying to observe the night sky, look at the Milky Way, and kind of, spend time being one with the universe. A single satellite is probably not going to be the end of the world. But at the same time, when it's a train of satellites, that's got to be irritating as well. But I guess there are provisions for actual scientists who need to, you know, probe specific areas of space and how they can avoid the satellites and stuff like that while their experiments can still carry on. So in the end, I guess it's still worthwhile if it connects people in places that have never had internet before. All right, so Volkswagen offers new details about its adorable ID bus. The electric motor bus. So it's basically Buzz with two Z's. Volkswagen clarified some details about the release of the ID. Buzz, the electric microbus that we first saw in concept form way back in 2017. I think this is Volkswagen at its finest. They're trying to hone back to their glory days. You know, these buses are so ridiculously expensive. If you want to get like a 1960s or a 70s bus, you know, that whole acid era transportation. It's so expensive. It's so unbelievably expensive and unaffordable. But now they're making new vehicles harking back to that era. That is definitely cool. In an interview with Car and Driver, Volkswagen's head of commercial vehicles, Carsten Intra, confirmed previous reports that the ID. Buzz's release in the US was delayed from 2022 to 2023. In addition, only the passenger version of the ID. Buzz was getting a US release, while Europe would be seeing both a commercial and passenger version of the van. The commercial version will be Volkswagen's first autonomous vehicle. I'm not sure how I feel about that, because it's just, as a petrolhead, you feel really conflicted about stuff that takes control of what you would like to control in the first place. But okay, the bus looks cute. That's got to count for something. Netflix is planning to launch 40 anime shows in 2021. I'm personally not into this genre, but if you are, that's going to be fucking cool for you, isn't it? The new series to be released this year include an adaptation of the Japanese manga Record of Ragnarok, set to premiere in June. Yasuke, about an African samurai in feudal-era Japan, which will premiere April 29th, and Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, based on the video game franchise. Netflix previously announced its anime series The Way of the House Husband, also based on the Japanese manga series, which will debut on April 8th. Really cool. Okay, so we've been following a news pattern where it's this constant push versus shove between social media networks and governments. So there's some news along that line. Facebook freezes Venezuela president's page over false COVID-19 claims. This has been kind of unfortunate, but this has been happening in multiple countries. Less so in Europe than other parts of the world. But Yeah, it's sad, but true, as Metallica would say. Facebook is holding more political leaders accountable for spreading COVID-19 misinformation. Reuters learned that Facebook has frozen the page for Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's page for 30 days after he promoted unsupported claims that a thyme-based medicine, Carvativir, cures COVID-19. Maduro's page will be still visible, but his team cannot post more content until the freeze is over. In a video post, Maduro incorrectly claimed that Carvativir amounted to miracle drops and could be used both to prevent and treat COVID-19 with no side effects. This has also been the issue with Coronil, which is, it's a combination of different herbs that a company in India manufactures. And some politicians have falsely claimed that, oh, this is guaranteed claims COVID or whatever. So I think this is, generally speaking, a step in the right direction. But, it still sets a pretty bad precedent for when a social media company can control what... the free speech of what a person wants to say. But then again, it's a very complex issue because what the person is saying is wrong. So do you let them support, misinformation? Do you let them spread it, or do you control it? So it's a very complex world we're living in right now, and it's only going to get more complex with time. All right. NASA's test spacecraft has already found 2,200 possible planets. All right, so NASA's test spacecraft has... it's basically out looking for alien worlds. This is, I guess, mankind's oldest quest to understand if we're alone in the universe. And that's very deeply visceral human feeling. All right, so the spacecraft, the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, has beat its goals. The space agency has revealed that its spacecraft has spotted over 2,200 potential planets since the beginning of its mission in 2018. Hundreds of those are smaller planets, some of which could include rocky worlds that are more Earth-like, although not necessarily habitable. TESS was originally expected to find 1,600 planets in its first 2 years. Some of its discoveries are decidedly unusual. The rocket planet TOI-700D is just 100 light-years away. LHS 3844b is a hot super-Earth with an extremely close 11-hour orbit. TOI-1690b is the rare survivor of a red giant star engulfing planets in its orbit, while TOI-849b appears to be a gas giant that either lost its atmosphere or never had one. It's just super, super cool. I find stuff with astrophysics to be so cool because it's just in pursuit of that golden truth. All right, so New York has rolled out its first digital COVID-19 vaccine passports in the U.S. Now, as you know, this has just been in the news lately, and it's been widely debated because, are vaccine passports right? Are they, wrong, or are they discriminatory or whatever? I feel like this might be one of the ways that we get out of this mess that we're in because of COVID-19. Let's read on. COVID-19 vaccination passports have become a practical reality in the U.S. New York State has launched a digital Excelsior pass that residents can use to prove they've been vaccinated or recently tested negative for infection. You can use your phone's virtual wallet on Android or iOS or a printout to flash a QR code and otherwise show that you're safe when you want to go to a concert or stage performance. The initial adopters will be large venues. Madison Square Garden in New York City will try to use Excelsior Pass this coming week, with Albany's Times Union Center also in the pipeline. The passes will be useful in smaller venues starting April 2nd, and they're already useful to increase the attendance size of catered events like weddings. I mean, broadly speaking, this is fundamentally a very good idea, because, if you really stop and think about it, people who have to travel internationally right now, or in most cases even domestically, have to have some, COVID negative tests. You're not allowed to fly if you test positive for COVID. But at the same time, what if you test positive for COVID once, right? And you have that as a record. How does that influence, somebody who's trying to track you or decide whether or not you get to go, to a particular concert, you get to travel or stuff like that? And you might think this is kind of ridiculous. Why would somebody, discriminate against somebody who's had COVID like 10 months ago and it's negative now? But not all testing centers, not all gateways that allow people to pass are going to be equal. And there are going to be these discrepancies or, you know, worse discrepancies that we haven't thought of yet. But broadly speaking, I think I'm all for it. There will be technical challenges such as ensuring consistent use of the pass across venues and ensuring that they're recognized across states or whole countries. While you don't strictly need a phone, the emphasis on QR codes could leave some people stranded if they don't have access to a computer with a printer. There also isn't a direct link between tickets and passes, so you can't automatically prove that you've been vaccinated when you buy seats. Yeah, complicated, but has to be sorted out. Okay, thousands of animals packed on ships in Suez Canal backup. My greatest fear is that animals run out of food and water and they get stuck on the ships, quote, said an Animal International representative. Yeah, so if you've been stuck under a rock again, there's been a ship that has blocked the Suez Canal and, that's caused more problems in the international supply chain than already existed because of COVID. But, hopefully it's coming close to an end, and it's now going to be a situation that gets rectified quickly. Thousands of animals are packed into ships stuck, backed up at the Suez Canal, according to multiple reports, raising alarms about their welfare. Bloomberg estimates 10 ships stuck in and around the canal are carrying livestock. The Guardian reported the tracking data show that at least 20 ships are transporting animals. Most of the animals are believed to be sheep, but some ships could also be carrying cattle. Got a little bit of a tongue twister there. The ships now face major delays as the container ship Ever Given remained wedged in Egypt's narrow canal Saturday after running aground on Tuesday. Dislodging it may take at least a week. All right, well, that's it for the news. Until next time.